Penguin Random House Audio presents I'm Mostly Here to Enjoy Myself, One Woman's Pursuit of Pleasure in Paris. This is the author, Glynis McNichol. For C-A-R-N-E, my favorite fruits, ce soir-là. I couldn't get what I wanted any other way, so I've been painting myself. No clothes. It was lots of fun. Georgia O'Keeffe to Alfred Stieglitz, 1917. Our author, then, was one of many and must be seen within the broad outlines of the moment in history of which she was a part. Margaret Atwood, The Handmaid's Tale. Tomorrow, I will take a long siesta. Romy Schneider, La Piscine. Prologue. À Paris. On Sunday, I spent a sunny hour in the Jardin des Plantes, sitting on one of the benches that line the long promenade, under trees that stand like sentinels. It's the 15th day of August, 2021. I have been in Paris for just over 2 weeks. Overhead, the sky is blue. The light filtering through the trees is golden and gentle. On my phone are messages I have exchanged with a man whose name and face I do not know. We matched on a French dating app shortly after I arrived. His profile has no photo, just a silhouette, and his age, 49. After we match, he immediately messages to tell me he is open-minded, 6'1", and fit. He tells me about the hourly hotels in Paris, ones accessible via an app I've never heard of, which make their rooms available during the afternoon between checkout and check-in. They all seem to be located near the Châtelet metro station in the center of the city. After 2 weeks of silence, he's been away on holiday. He's reappeared in my messages and asked if I would meet him over in the sixth for a drink. Let's see if we want to take our clothes off and be open-minded together assessment. This is at odds with many of the other proposals I've been receiving in the weeks since Silhouette and I first connected. The ones who simply want me to come over. To arrive without any underclothes on. To be waiting naked on my bed, the front door left unlocked. To be blindfolded, tied up. Spanked. What if we aren't attracted to one another, I say to these bolder requests. There's always that chance, they tell me. Even through the broken English, I can feel the implied shrug, the very French absence of humor. Their lack of concern emanates through the screen. I don't need a translation. It's been a long year of little touch, it says. Physical attraction right now seems less a gamble than a given. Everyone is feral for connection. When I first encountered Silhouette's profile, I had only just landed in Paris, and the lack of information struck me as refreshingly mysterious. It allowed me to sketch the details in myself, exert more control and anticipation over who might be on the other end. But over the following weeks, I realized this Silhouette business is not an uncommon practice. The French are notoriously obsessed with privacy. If I want actual photos, numbers need to be exchanged, and the conversation moved to a presumably better guarded WhatsApp. If it had been a week or two later, I wouldn't have bothered swiping, but I was still figuring it all out when I came across him. I haven't responded to his request yet. Instead, I open my camera and look at myself. The light on my face reflects the way I feel, vibrant and compelling. Alive. My dating app bio says, New Yorker, 46, à Paris pour un mois. It does not say, I have been alone, untouched, in a very small apartment for 14 months, have hurled myself across the ocean amidst an increasingly uncertain summer to Paris, simply because I could. What's become apparent is that one result of suffering on a global scale is no one wants to talk about it. In the first weeks of March 2020, there was much puzzling over why we didn't have more stories about the 1918 flu pandemic. But now it seems clear. People want to move on as quickly as possible. I read Silhouette's message again, contemplating whether I want to leave here and make my way over to the 6th, a full arrondissement away, to meet with a literal mystery man. I look at the people walking around the gravel paths. The parks in Paris each have a different personality. Monceau is full of joggers, but rarely tourists. Luxembourg is like Central Park, too beautiful and central to be avoided by Parisians, but overwhelmed by visitors. Bout Chaumont is for the youth. Here in Jardin des Plantes are the 40-something well-dressed Parisians, secure in their lives and their attractiveness. They are established. They have dinner parties. They stroll. They have frolicking children. Normally, you'd have to look for them through the tourists, but there are no tourists this year. There are only the French, and now there is me. The truth is, I'm not especially curious what Silhouette looks like. Either there will be attraction or there won't. I'm more excited to be seen. The long months of not being regarded, not having my physical presence responded to in even the smallest ways. No one has touched me or even smelled me for over a year. Has inadvertently stripped away the lifelong habit of itemizing all the things that are wrong with me before I present myself to the world. I don't care what might be wrong with me. Or rather, I can't seem to make myself care even when I try. I'm reminded of a time when I had a chest infection that resulted in such a deep, persistent cough, the doctor prescribed me syrup that contained some type of morphine. When the urge to cough arrived, I found I simply couldn't. The body and the brain had been disconnected. My body and brain are still very much tied together, but the former is currently running the show. And my body is not here for validation. My body is here for pleasure. I decide to go. It's a beautiful day and I have nothing to lose. I type back that I'm on my way. I don't type en route, as I might have in any other circumstance or place, because Ellie, a new friend in Paris and 10 years my junior, has told me to never speak French to Frenchmen on dating apps. She tells me Frenchmen think less of you when you attempt their language, and the power dynamic shifts. I wonder if it's simply a matter of wanting what we don't normally have, and if this is the case, what is the experience like for non-English-speaking visitors in Paris? Who is rewarded for a language, and who is punished, and in what circumstances? Avoiding French is not exactly a huge challenge for me. At the best of times, my French is broken, and my comprehension hit and miss. Even so, from time to time, I slip in the odd oui or avec plaisir. It is sometimes easier to say what I mean in a language I don't really speak. Paris is its own Silhouette. If people hang their vague aspirations of ambition on New York, hoping the city will fuel their rise, or at least transform them into a person capable of rising, they do the same with their dreams of romance in Paris. The city is the masked figure everyone is swiping right on. There is apparently a condition called Paris syndrome, coined by a Japanese psychiatrist named Hiroyuki Ota in the 80s. It's supposedly primarily experienced by visitors from the eastern parts of Asia, particularly women in their 30s, who arrive in Paris and are deeply disappointed to discover the city does not live up in any way to its reputation. The symptoms of Paris syndrome, possibly apocryphal, are apparently so severe the Japanese embassy at one point set up a hotline for tourists to call so they could immediately be shipped home. Certainly, one of the benefits of being in your 40s must be the knowledge that depending on anything external to fundamentally transform you is a fool's errand. As my friend Nina likes to say, wherever you go, that's where you are. But looking to a city or a dress or a meal or a person to throw a different light on things, to raise you up slightly from where you are and place you gently down a little way away so that everything looks familiar, but perhaps a little taller, a little softer, a little stronger, more enjoyable. That's just good decision-making. That's what I'm here for. I've had the same view of things for more than a year, myself included. I want to see things differently, myself most of all. I close my messages with Silhouette. I'll know soon enough what's behind the blank outline. I get off the bench, stretch, snap one last glowing selfie in the dappled golden light, and begin my slow Sunday afternoon walk across empty Paris. Chapter 1. The only thing to do is go. I purchased my plane ticket to Paris in May of 2021, when everything in New York begins to feel possible again. The cold pandemic winter, the second one, is dissolving into a promising spring. Vaccines have staggered onto the scene. The new roaring 20s are soon to be upon us, goes the refrain. There is almost no evidence of this, yet. But it all sounds wonderful. I have been alone for more than a year, home alone in New York. I see people, of course, but from a distance. My apartment building, all 17.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?